What's up, guys? Welcome to this week's Friday sessions. We had an absolutely cracking pod today. We started off with the big announcements about the interest rate drops in Australia, what that means to everybody who is in the business of trying to get ahead and make money. We talk about the new possible thing that is sweeping the Bitcoin world, which is, could Australia be a tax haven for Bitcoiners? I know that sounds unbelievable, but a court ruling came down out of Victoria this week that ruled the Bitcoin is a currency, not an asset, and therefore the ATO may have to cancel capital gains tax on Bitcoin and refund all the capital gains tax that Bitcoiners have paid in the last 10 years. We talk about that story. We get deep into the housing affordability, a new OECD report that shows Australia set a new world record in the history of all countries measured in the OECD. We are now the least disposable income of any country in the world, with the biggest decline in the history of the index. Yay, yay, go Australia. But there's lots of positive stuff in here as well. We talked about Mark being Superman in the markets, how some of his trades are up well over 200%. I talk about a trade that I made 4 years ago that for $100,000 that you put in, every $100,000, I made $250,000 a year on top for the last 4 years straight. So we talk about that. And we also talk about a strategy right at the end that I've been testing on my Instagram, where, with not saying a single word, not opening my mouth once and making a reel of less than 8 seconds, a strategy I learned from a young woman in America. I've tested it twice. I got nearly 100,000 views between these two videos where I didn't even speak. They were less than 8 seconds and got me nearly 700 new followers in 48 hours. That's right at the end of this pod. We go right into it. I share her contact details. I think you're really going to enjoy it. With that said, remember, guys, like, most importantly, subscribe. That's what helps get the pod better guests on here. Only roughly 50% of you are subscribed. So hit the subscribe button right now and tell your friends. With that said, enjoy the pod. See you next week. So, boys, some big news out in Australia this week. I don't know where to start. It's like a news cycle. They just keep getting bigger and stronger. Where do you guys want to be? Should we start with the interest rate cut that was announced this week? That's obviously going to have an impact on markets. Yeah, interest rate cuts. 0.25 basis points. Most of the market is predicting there's going to be at least two, probably four interest rates cut in Australia. While we're trying to, you know, get our property prices under control and everything else, this is going to be awesome for that, isn't it?
Mystic Machado can kick it off, I reckon, because I think he went on record last week or the week before saying, "I guarantee you, I'm 100% sure it's going to be a rate cut." So let's let Mystic Machado talk about it.
Look into your crystal balls there, man.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, all you got to do is, you know, do a bit of research on what happens when interest rates go down in most markets, what happens, right? And we're just starting. And there's in my opinion, there's a lag, you know, there's at least a 6 month lag, in my opinion, with these interest rate increases when they were increasing and interest rate drops. And what's going to happen in the market. So it's all good today, right, to talk about it going down by that 0.25 basis points, which it also went down, I think it was in February as well. And they're anticipating more in the future. Some economists are saying that they might have, you know, dropped a 0.5% one today, but 0.25, I think it's... Whether you think it's healthy or not, I'm in the property space and I'm in the business space. So any interest rate decline, in my opinion, is good for me and you guys on this panel that have business, because it puts more disposable income into people's pockets, which means they're going to spend more on things that they want rather than things that they actually need. And also with property prices, it just makes it obviously cheaper for people to get in the market. And not only that, it increases borrowing capacity. And in my opinion, people just can't help themselves. No one kind of stays in their lane and goes, "I'm just going to stay in my property." We all want to keep upping the game, right? We all want to have a better car and a better house. You go from the apartment to the four bedroom house to the house on the water with a pool and all this type of thing. So I think there'll be a lot of people that people forget, right? We're very, very good, in my opinion, at forgetting the pain that we go through from time to time. like COVID as an example seems like ages ago, right? Seems like a nightmare, but you kind of forget at the same time the actual pain we went through because it was so long ago. And I feel it's the same thing with these cycles. People forget, they'll end up going and buying more boats and cars and different things and increase their borrowing capacity and buy different houses. And yeah, that's my opinion. I think it's investors haven't been in the market for a long time. Okay. We've been, especially on the Gold Coast, we've been overtaken by owner occupied stock. And I think a decrease in interest rates will bring more investors into the market because as they decrease interest rates, as we all know, we got Macro Mark on the call, right? Bond rates and you know, interest rates, savings accounts, interest rates will keep coming down. And eventually people will be like, you know what? I'm not getting that healthy 4 to 5% savings interest rate anymore. So I'm going to pull my money out and I'm going to start putting it into different asset classes. One of those classes being property, because interest rates are coming down. So when interest rates come down, it becomes more affordable, and obviously prices increase over time. And other people will dip into different markets like trading and Bitcoin. And that's my opinion.
I think, Eric, that's the basic lesson for people who are like brand new, not when I say brand new, to thinking about economics, right? A lot of our listeners are in jobs, they're trying to get out of jobs, they're trying to get into business, and they're trying to understand economics. And economics 101, and Mark will tell you this, is that interest rates run the world and the bond markets run the world. When interest rates drop, it means that people who put money in the bank are not getting rewarded. So what do? They take it out of the bank and try to put it into assets. Now, poor people put it into jet skis. Rich people put it into assets, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's property, whether it's the stock market. They try to put it into things that go up in value. And of course, that increases the supply side for all of those things. So that's why you see Donald Trump trolling the Federal Reserve, trying to get him to drop interest rates. Why is he doing that? Because he's trying to make markets pump so that he can stay in power. It's simple. It's not a difficult equation for people to understand.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of parlays in from last week's conversation around that first homeowner 5% deposit. I mean, it's just going to add a little fuel to that fire, probably sooner rather than later, in that lower end of the market. I mean, you get a 0.25% interest rate and another one, as you said, two, potentially three to follow, and you'll probably start to see that end of the market ignite.
And Mark, it's not, and this is what they were talking about, Van Olsen on Macro Business was saying, we're creating a perfect storm. We're not reducing immigration. We've got 0.25% interest rate cut with potentially three more to come this year. They've got all kinds of incentives for first home buyers. And we've got no trades to build things. It's going to be a very interesting time, you know, and it's going to be that bottom end of the market that is going to be hit. So
go ahead,
Brian. The other thing worth paying attention to is that our inflation rate, so the long run inflation rate that all these central banks and reserve banks try and get us to stay under, is 2%. Well, Australia's inflation rate hasn't returned below 2%. I think it's still something like 2.9% year on year. So you have to have a look at the forest for the trees, because effectively what the government is saying, what the Reserve Bank is saying, is that we are going to tolerate higher inflation for longer. For them to drop the interest rate while inflation is still above their target range of 2%, they are basically coming out and saying, without saying, we are going to tolerate higher inflation. And so we've spoken about this, and we can argue which investment is better, gold, Bitcoin, property, etc. But the point is that the thing that you can't do, the thing that you absolutely cannot do, is keep your money in the bank.
No.
You must go out there and buy assets. And they're basically telling you this in a soft way. They can't go out and say, hey, buy assets, because then the inflation will run away even more and it'll get even worse and the housing affordability get even crazier. But they're inadvertently telling you, without telling you, guys, inflation is not returning back to normal.
So unless you got Donald Trump running your country, where he literally goes on X and says, buy stocks.
they're more explicit over there, right? The
Americans are just, Donald's open, right? I'm going to do some shit that's going to make you rich, so go do this now. We've literally got it's crazy.
Front run the whole American market.
The episode, my macro, the macro podcast I do, the episode that I just recorded was all based on that. Like, and we often come on here and we talk about government doing this and government doing that and how bad the policy is. And the reality is, all these puppets, they are symptom of macro and generational trends. They're just, if it wasn't them, it'd be someone else doing the same actions. So, you know, we probably need to be a little bit less negative about all this. And if we understand it, if we can see it, let's go out there and front run it. Like James said, let's go and make the most of the fiat Ponzi and let's all get rich, right? That's why you're tuning in. You're not tuning in to see our beautiful faces. You're tuning in because you want to earn more money. So let's make the most of it. Let's get rich.
I agree. I think now is, and this is my opinion, especially if you're in business, now is a time where you want to start getting aggressive. Right, you want to start taking some market share. You know, interest rates are coming back down. It's going to be there's more positivity that it's going to bring into the market, right? And in my opinion, this is when you want to start doubling down on content and ads and stock, because all we need is a couple more interest rate drops over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months. And let me tell you, people are going to think they've just won the lottery, because people forget. Right. And people might not think 1% is a lot, but 1% on $1 million is 10 grand. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there with a lot more debt than just $1 million. Right. And 10 grand goes a long way when you can be purchasing anything else. Most people aren't saving the 10 grand and putting it in the bank. Right.
Yeah.
Most people are going to take that 10 grand. And this is the sad part. Right. And this is where we got to try and get people to think differently. Who got rewarded, right, with the COVID payments? Mr. Harvey Norman is an example. That's what people do, right? Majority of the people will take the 10 grand and they'll spend it 5 grand on a brand new TV, or take it, like Adam said, buy a jet ski or whatever it is. But the smart people, right, need to start getting educated around the topics that we're talking about and going, hey, take that 10 grand and put it into something else. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
In our property coaching program, we've had a delay because we've had a person that has bought 50% of the program with Bitcoin. So what we had to do is set up a Bitcoin account. Now, it's taken some time to set up the Bitcoin account, because you set it up, then it goes, oh, no, because there's multiple partners. The driver's license isn't approved. There's got to be a passport. The trust deeds need to be certified, like just... You know, it's like pulling teeth, opening up accounts these days, right? Even a bank account. Now, but the guy, he's laughing at the same time, because he's like, the longer it takes, the cheaper it is for me, the better it is for me. And that is what people need to understand. If we took the Bitcoin 3 weeks ago, would have been a lot better for us and a lot worse for him. But now that the account's going to be set up this week, right? And that's to devalue
the Bitcoin owner, just his world got cheap because he owned Bitcoin.
Exactly, right? But that's like in real life, that's impacting us as an example. But that 10 grand, be careful where you spend it.
Yeah, 100%. And we're not,
go ahead,
Mike. I was just going to say, we're not saying go out there and take stupid risks and dumb leverage and, you know, buy the house on the main road in the shit suburb. Like, you got to go out there and you got to do due diligence and you got to put that money together smartly or intelligently. But if you're here watching this show, then you're probably in that top 1 to 5% where you should be able to compound your money at a better interest rate than what the bank is going to give you, right? The bank's going to give you 3-4% if you put it in the term deposit or whatever, whereas if you go out there and you take on that debt and you can make a return, you should be able to make a return greater than the interest rate that you have to pay on it, right? And so they're the type of people that should be tuning in. Yeah. And if you're not that, you should be learning through these podcasts on how to go out there and do that and take out intelligent leverage.
Yeah.
I want to just point out to the listeners some data I dug up this week, because I want you guys listening at home, wherever you are right now, whether you're on a train, whether you're in your house, in the car, whatever, I want you to understand you are in a vicious fight for your life here with a lying, deceitful government. And I'll tell you, I'll give you some facts. Mark just said here, oh, you know, the Reserve Bank's target is 2%. And they say it's only 2% a year that we have this inflation problem. Saw an article on A Current Affair this week, this guy down in Melbourne who runs a steel girder business. his land tax has gone up 2,300% in 10 years. I went and did some digging on this, and I looked at how much revenue is raised through stamp duty and land tax nationally each year. It's up 130% in the last 10 years. So when they count this inflation number of 2%, there's a lot of things they don't put in that basket that they count. Let me just finish the thought. This is why, guys, you need to get super aggressive about your education and your action, because you are working in an environment where you're going to have to go hard. And when it comes to real estate, we can talk about this in a minute, I think it's so important that you do. The real wealth, in my opinion, is what people are really, that are really getting rich in real estate, the ones that are getting in, developing, adding value, and creating it, not waiting for it. Like the boomers just got rich by holding. I think those days are going to be, that's not the plan anymore.
You mentioned land tax, right? I'm going to give you an example. I just got an email from the accountant, right? This is just on two properties that we own. The land tax, right, is, where is it? It's just opening up. I literally just got this about half an hour before we started the pod. Two properties, they're across about 900 square meters of land. And the total assessment liability is $31,170.
Yep. Gold like Coast.
That's the reality, right? And if you look at, and they go off, right, averages, right? So the average, there's a three-year average, right? 2022, 2023, 2024. Now from 22, 23, and 24, every year, right, that dollar value of land content has gone up.
Yeah. There was a big storm when Pauline Hanson came in our pod and said that roughly 40% of the price of a house and land package is taxes to the government. And I actually did some digging to see if I could find some data on that. And I found the report from the Center of International Economics report. And the numbers are as follows. Sydney, 49% of a house and land package is some form of tax. Melbourne, 43%. Brisbane, 41%. Adelaide and Hobart, 37%. And Perth, 36%. So Pauline was right.
She's right. Let me put this into
everybody bagged it. Everybody said, no. But
that was the most
the redhead from Ipswich was right.
That was the most hate that we've copped on a short clip, right? And the reality is, let me put some real numbers on this. We spoke about this on the pod today. And the average size block of land is 400 square meters. In 2008, that block of land cost in Craigieburn cost $120,000 for a 400 square meter block of land. Today, the tax alone that the government collects on a 400 square meter block of land is over $120,000.
Oh my God.
For every dollar that we make on property, for every dollar that the property developer makes on property, have a look at what the government's making over that period of time.
And Mark, this is to say nothing about what the marketers get. So the marketers get 30 to 50 grand on top. So you got all that tax, which is roughly 40%. Then you get, 30 grand going to marketers. And I did a little bit more digging here. They're saying that we're building about 50,000 house and land packages were sold in 23-24. If you put the average price at $1 million, which is now, according to CoreLogic, the average price of a new dwelling in Australia, and that might be a bit lower for house and land, I'm not sure, but it's $50 billion a year of homes, new homes in 23-24, of which half, or not half, but 40% goes to the government in tax. I mean, it's just outrageous.
You now know why the interest rates just went down today. Inflation is still at 2.9%.
So
playbook.
Yeah.
Follow the playbook. The government sets the playbook. Follow the playbook. Don't fight the playbook.
Yeah, and the government's got massively incentivized to keep the Ponzi going, because if they don't,
they don't have a choice, right? It's gotten to a point now where they don't actually have a choice. It doesn't matter if me or you were running. We would get in, we would see the whites of the eyes, and we'd do the same thing. We would do the same thing, because there's no choice now. It's gone too far.
On 2GB this week, Van Onselen again on 2GB came on and talked about the immigration and saying how the immigration's a major problem. And he cited a report about how the number one immigrants to Australia are the Indian community, and something like 65% or 70% of Indian immigrants vote Labor. Connect the dots yourself. you know, when you've got the
I've
people.
Seen it in Canada.
Yeah.
I've seen it in Canada over the last 10 years. Like when I go back, right? Again, majority as well have been Indian, but the difference is like, doesn't matter the race. The one thing with the Indian culture, I will give them this. They invest in businesses, they buy businesses, they run businesses, and they buy property. And give you an example. I'm going to give you an example.
My and they parents, vote labor.
Yeah, and they vote labor. They're my parents. They do.
That's
vote
my
labor.
Point. And they vote, do vote labor.
My parents, right, are here from overseas at the moment. The house in front of them just went up for sale in Canada. Now the market in Canada is not amazing. It's okay at the moment, and it sold within a week of it being on the market, right? And majority of the people that were going through the open homes, right, were of Indian culture, Indian descent. And that's who's buying these homes, right? And now they're buying the businesses. And it's amazing because I see it so clearly to me. It's like when my parents came to Canada, right, 50 years ago, it was them that were buying and doing different things, right? It was, they were the immigrants at that time, the Europeans. And now, right, it's the Indian culture, because, and I think one of the things is they've got a big population, right? And they're going somewhere. They need to go somewhere, right? But the thing is with them is they're coming, and they're coming with money, and they know what it's like to go without. I'm telling you, there are some families that are living in homes that I have seen on my parents' street, because I know that there's 4 to 5 cars, right? Some of them parked on the front lawn, and there's multiple people living in a house. Most people would never do that today, never mind at any point in time, but they're willing to do that. And everyone chips in. Everyone chips in. They buy their businesses. They work in their businesses, and they're very, very well educated.
They're the same here. I mean, it's the same here in Limassol. And the point here is not that I don't like Indians. I love Indian people. I get on great with them. I like that they're hardworking, and I like that they have a sense of humor, and they're family-centric, and they have great sense of values. All I'm talking about is that the immigration needs to be, in my opinion, capped for a minute for Australia to take a breath, but we'll see whether it happens or not.
I just quickly Googled why, like, because Eric said, you know, it was the European migrants, and now it's the Indian migrants, the Chinese migrants. I'm like, I asked ChatGPT, I'm like, why are migrants always the biggest buyers of properties? And the 6 points that it came up with was strong cultural emphasis on property ownership, access to capital from overseas, strategic and long-term thinking, willingness to enter the market where others hesitate, immigration policy and visa-driven investment, and media amplification, political narratives.
And they're just hungry, right, as well. They're super hungry, as you said, Eric. Like, they come in, I see it here down the beach yesterday, Sunday, and they were, on the weekend, and they're having their day off, and it's just how it is. But, you know, what's alarming for me is that an OECD report came out this week, and we set a new world record as a country, Australia, the biggest decline in disposable income in the history of measuring OECD countries. Only 2 countries were in negative, and we are the world champions, -8% in real disposable income. So, you know, and that's partly because Australians are so indebted, and we're so into real estate, and we go into massive debt. And so when interest rates go up, Aussies just get under a massive, massive amount of pressure, because our culture is built around property ownership. Anyway, moving on from that, let's talk about some let's say positive businessy stuff. Let me just move my notes back here. another just big news story I wanted to touch on was yesterday. I don't know if you guys caught it, but the Financial Review ran an article about a court ruling where a police officer stole 80 Bitcoin in 2019 from a seizure. And he stole, well, when I say stole, allegedly stole 80 Bitcoin that at the time were worth about $490,000. Today they're worth $13 million. It's gone to court. The judge has ruled that capital gains tax are not due on these Bitcoin, because Bitcoin, in his view, his words in the ruling were, "I find the argument that Bitcoin is not a currency unconvincing." And so the implications of this, it's obviously being appealed by the ATO, and they'll have to go to the Supreme Court. But If this is upheld, it means that the ATO would have to refund between $500 million and $1 billion in capital gains tax that they've charged to crypto holders between 2014 and today. And it will make Australia a tax haven for Bitcoiners, which would be very, very interesting and completely against the run of flow in Australia.
Is that specifically Bitcoin only or all the alts?
In the Australian Financial Review, it said this ruling applies only to Bitcoin. So whether that would be expanded or not, I'm not sure. That's a very interesting story to watch, and I think that will make world news. Very, very interesting.
That's wild.
It's pretty wild.
I'm reading the article now. It found that Bitcoin is akin to Australian currency.
Yeah.
And potentially basically exempt from capital gains tax. That would be the first people ever to consider it a currency.
Yeah.
Everyone else kind of considers it a commodity. So what are the second and third order effects of that?
Yeah, well, it's only just fresh off the press. I think it's just going to be interesting to watch and see.
It means a lot of people will be selling their property and buying Bitcoin, Mark. That's second. Yeah. I don't know what third would be.
forget about anything other than fucking Bitcoin in Australia, if that's the case.
Yeah, well,
has someone kind of slipped up here or what? Like what? That is one of the last things you think government would do. Well, it's not government, is it? It's a court.
Well, no, it's meant. So when does a judge actually get to decide whether it's currency or not? I mean, are they actually allowed to have that power?
Well, I guess the ATO is in court with another party saying, look, this is not an asset. Because Bitcoin is just an information packet, actually. And they were saying that, you know, if they classified it as a digital asset, it would bring into question all sorts of things like in-game tokens, all these digital trading through the gaming industry would all be taxable, you know, for capital gains events and all this sort of stuff if they categorize Bitcoin in that way. So it's a very, very interesting case, and it's catching global attention because obviously Bitcoin, there's 1.9 million Australians with cryptocurrency wallets, which is a lot of people, right? So it's a very interesting story and one that, you know, will... Yeah,
it's I think the ATO, I'm reading here, the ATO is kind of maintaining their position that they don't think it is a currency, but if for some reason it was legally recognized as money in Australia, we would probably become the global hub for all Bitcoin innovation, because correct, everyone would start setting up their businesses here. That would be such an incredible boom for our country. That's like, we've always shunned technology and made people go elsewhere, and I don't for a minute think that this is going to happen, but if it was to happen, that would be incredible.
Mark, people don't realize how big the industry is. I mean, next week I'm in Bitcoin Vegas. There's 30,000 people there at that conference. 30,000 people, and the lineup is like, you know, JD Vance, like the top of the top people in politics and power are going to be there. It's just bananas. So it'll be a very interesting story to watch. One last headline just before we move on, because, guys, we want to talk about some stuff we're doing in business at the moment we think is really valuable for you guys. The last headline I wanted to touch on was this super tax. It's getting a lot of pushback in the press now, thank God, in Australia. But, you know, for those who don't know what the story is, basically the Labor government wants to bring in an unrealized capital gains tax on super balances over $3 million. So once your super gets to $3 million, once it goes over, each year they assess what's over and you have to pay tax on it even if you haven't sold the asset. So basically you have to find a way to sell some of your assets, stop your compounding growth so that the government can get their bit each year. So in other words, you hand over agency on when you sell your assets to them. It's a hot mess because of a whole bunch of reasons, but I just want to give you a couple of facts which should get Australians riled up. Number one, they project $9.7 billion that they'll be able to collect in the first 5 years of this. And they're saying, oh, it's only 0.8% of the population. It's 80,000 retirees that this affects, 80,000. They want to get $9.7 billion off them for assets they haven't even sold. And the thing that's really interesting is politicians, Chalmers and Albo included, are exempt from this because they're
politicians. Yeah, well, politicians exempt.
and the last part is that AMP Capital in Sydney produced a report this week showing that the average 22-year-old Australian, by the time they retire, will all have $3 million in super because of inflation, and it is not indexed to inflation. So in other words, inside of one generation, this will be every Australian getting taxed on unrealized super. And it's such a mess because these assets fluctuate, right? Like you buy Tesla stock and it drops, you know, it peaks at $400, boom, you get a tax bill, and then it drops down to $200. You're not going to get a tax refund. You're going to get a tax credit if it ever comes back, right?
I got some stats for you on that. So out of curiosity, guys, asset classes held within superannuation, right? Your average Australian. What's the percentage that you think are in shares? So if you had all superannuation, right? What's the percentage in shares versus fixed income versus property, private equity, cash?
30%. I would say 30% shares.
So Adam's the closest. So 33.6% international shares, 21.8% Australian shares, property, 6%, very, very low. So what does that tell you though, right? If this came in, right, what assets are people are, what, oops, sorry.
Can't wait to get started.
What, so what's okay. The game plan? Sorry, guys. ChatGPT.
What is the game plan?
So what that tells you is if close to 60% of it is held in shares and you got to pay for this, what are you going to sell?
Oh, it's easy, it's liquid. So that's why they're after it.
Right, you're going to sell shares, right? Because it's liquid, right? And this is the thing, right? Imagine if it was 60% property. What would happen, right? And these are the things, right? Like it's all good saying,
capital control.
Right? It's all good. Adam coming on and going, hey, this is what they're saying, but then you start digging a little bit deeper and go, holy shit, 60% of it is shares. Shares are liquid. So if somebody owns $5 million worth of shares and all of a sudden their unrealized capital gains tax on the 2 million is, you know, 25% of that 2 million bucks. Well, all of a sudden they got to sell something, right? Or they've got plenty of cash flow coming in.
It's a form of capital control, right? It's a form of capital controls. And that is what you're going to start seeing a hell of a lot more of. Trump has gone out there and tried the tariff thing to kind of even up all these trade imbalances, but that he's repealing it because the Republicans underneath him are saying, mate, we've got a fucking midterms to win. We're not going to win the midterms with these tariffs. So he's pulling that back. So the next thing that you're going to start seeing, because it's going to happen, the repression's going to happen, is you're going to see governments start to impose capital controls like this, right? And this is why the case for Bitcoin and gold is so fucking compelling. It's like a thing that's time has come, and you cannot be sleeping on this because your shares that you thought were safe might not be safe. Your fixed income is definitely not going to be safe. That's the thing that's going to get fucked over most. And even your property, we've been talking about how it's going to get taxed, right? So you want to be in some of these things, but the case for Bitcoin and gold has never been so compelling.
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
Last night, Mark, I was in a Bitcoin meetup here in Limassol, and it's full of people from all over the world. And I was listening as the Greeks talked about 4 years of capital controls where they could not take money out of the bank.
They were bailed in.
They literally couldn't touch their money for 4 years. And I told them last night about this tax ruling in Australia, and I could see their eyes lighting up because they're all Bitcoiners. And they, if they don't like the rules, they can put their USB stick or their treasure in their pocket, jump on a plane and move to where they're not going to get taxed for having it. And you can't do that with any other asset, right?
You can't even do that with gold, realistically.
No, you can just go where you're treated best when you're a sovereign individual, which is what Bitcoin's all about. And that's why, you know, I'm saying that that is a really interesting thing. So, but yeah, it's a very interesting time out there, guys.
James said it a few times, right? The frog gets boiled very slowly, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens, you know, what's that saying? Slowly and then all at once.
Yeah, and that was the thing. We had that pod earlier today with Field, and he was talking about the five key elements that might make people want to go and join. They said, join your mate in Cyprus. That was unsustainable welfare, you know, price regulation, quotas, nationalization. The last one to go, and it's happening right now, of his five checklist is capital control. And at that point, it's time to fucking pack your bags and bail. So,
but just in fairness, James, and the one thing that I think is important, right, is that the capital control issue is going to be happening all over the Western world. It's going to be happening in Europe. It's going to be happening in Australia. It's going to be even the US. The only way they're going to be able to balance the deficit is going to be through capital controls. So we have to be thinking a little bit smarter. Like, not everyone has the ability to pick up and go to Cyprus. But you can choose to have your money parked in different areas, you know, like places like Singapore and Switzerland are neutral territories. They're always likely to be neutral territories. So being able to park your money in places where you can have quick transfer into those jurisdictions are other ways to kind of tackle it. We're not saying, hey, everybody get ready to pack your bags, but you need to understand the flow of capital so that you can, you know, if you've got couple of million dollars, you don't want that to be melted away, and so you need to start putting some time and energy into these topics.
If you're an Aussie resident and you have accounts up in Singapore, you still get treated accordingly. You're an Australian resident, so
totally 100%.
No, unless you're a non-resident, the benefit of I've had them up there accounts in Singapore is there's not much except for the fact they can't lock, you know, if they lock your accounts down, they just send in they didn't graze. Like in Australia, that would be a different scenario. But as far as the actual taxation,
what people need to get better at is taking their money out of their offset account and doing something with it. This is a big issue in Australia.
I
said it on a pod before, right? In Canada, there's no such thing as offset accounts. We don't have offset accounts. So if you have a loan for $1 million, it's $1 million. It's not 500 grand because you have 500 grand sitting in an offset account. And this is an issue in this country. Is that someone's got $1 million loan, they got 500 grand offsetting a 5% loan or a 6% loan. And they think that's where they're going to get ahead because they're saving 6% interest. And then they get their loan statement and go, you've saved $16,722 this year because you had X amount sitting in your offset account. And people need to start thinking outside of the box a little bit and going, you know what? Surely I can outpace 6% or 6.5% or 5%. And you know what? You're not going to have a choice soon because these interest rates are coming down. And if we get another 2 or 3 of these 0.25s and a 0.5 thrown in the mix, whatever that may be, you're going to have no choice but to look at other asset allocations.
Yeah,
it's a big problem here, guys. You guys don't realize it because you're born with it, but it's...
No, it's also the reason why our banks are some of the most profitable in the world per capita is because that money that you've got sitting in the bank can go and rehypothecate that 10 or 50 or 100 times. And they're basically, you know, using that money to make profit, right? They're using your money, our money to make profit.
They're giving it to crazy people like me to then go buy property and make more than 6%. That's what they're doing.
Well, I was about to say, based on, last week, just going back to that about Mark, you're talking about the inflation plus the hurdle rate. I mean, you've got to work out where you're going to go and beat 6% to start with before you even take the money out. Otherwise, you'd be fucking playing with fire. And it comes back to that education piece that most people probably wouldn't. Fixed interest. Fixed interest?
I talk to a lot of people, forget about
fixed income.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, that's what's been, in by the index or fixed interest or whatever. Yeah. Those things are going to become obsolete very
shortly. I got lots of friends and acquaintances that I talk to that I know, right, have hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in offset accounts, just sitting there.
It's not. And if you're just a little bit educated, guys, and do, I would say to you, back yourself with proper education. James and I had a riff yesterday, the two of us, for half an hour while I was at a coffee shop. I just rang him up. And he said, I've just watched the earnings call for MicroStrategy, right? And he said, it just blew me away. Now I understand why you gave your money to Michael Saylor to manage it, right? Because I realized 4 years ago when I started to really go deep on learning who are the smartest people in the world, I started to really question whether me starting a small business was the play, because I'm backing me and I'm not that smart. There's actually much smarter people than me in the world. And I saw Michael Saylor get interviewed recently, and somebody said to him, what would you do if you had $100,000 a day and the average person? He said, keep your job and buy Bitcoin or MicroStrategy and let me do it for you. Let Bitcoin do it for you. Or let Elon do it for you. Because go ahead, James.
I was going to say, I'll give Adam's actual, I saw him years ago and thought, fuck trying to use my brain to make money. I'm just going to borrow his. Turned out to be the smart thing. Sometimes you play life on the hard mode. And you have this in the one you post. I'm honestly starting to realize that starting business is probably so stupid. Find geniuses and invest in their
That was my text 100%. To James yesterday. I did the math. Like when I put that money in with Michael, because I listened to Michael on YouTube, I thought, you know what? I'm going to put my super over there. For every $100,000 that I put over there to Michael, let me give you the math in 4 years. For every $100,000, I've made $250,000 a year for 4 years on each $100,000 in gains. Just think about that for a second.
A year.
$100,000. Yeah. If you put $100,000 there 4 years ago, you'd made $250,000 a year on top, because it's more than 10x in that time.
And you didn't have to hire one employee. You didn't have to no payroll tax, no BASs, none of that, right?
Who would want to start a business in today's day and age if you don't honestly have an edge, right? Like I feel like we're talking about this today, more and more people are going to become solopreneurs or whatever you want to call it, right? Like where you're servicing one, two or three clients. But who would want the headache of actually trying to start a business in a world where things are getting disrupted as quickly as what they're getting disrupted at the moment? You know, Michael Saylor talks about it in his earnings call, James. He basically says seven companies have eaten all the other companies on the stock market. So since 2008, seven companies have eaten every other company. This is the reason why MicroStrategy and Bitcoin has met its time, right? Because capital destruction is happening at such a freaking rate. Why would you want, sure, you might be the unicorn, but why would you want to start a business if that's what's going to happen, right?
If you've got a guy like Elon Musk out there, a guy like Michael Saylor, these really smart people, NVIDIA and stuff, and they're running businesses and you can see money being pumped into the capital markets and you know interest rates are dropping. I mean, just put the pieces together here, right? It doesn't take a genius to see that when they put Elon through that absolutely pointed effort to cancel Elon and drove his stock into the ground, if you've got a brain and you watch YouTube and you really go deep and understand, I'm just talking my belief and what I watch, it's very dangerous to bet against Elon Musk. And Mark, you wisely went, you know what? This is all going to go away. Elon's going to leave the White House. He's going to go back and prove the world wrong because he's got a massive daddy issue. And he's going to go and smash Tesla. And I reckon... My prediction here is that within 18 months, we'll see Tesla at $1,000 a share and it dropped down to $250. I really believe that.
That trade that I put on is up 282% now. And if Tesla gets to $1,000 before November this year, I'll turn 10,000 into probably 500,000. And I'm going to let this trade ride just for the sake of this pod as well and just see how far I can get it going. I bought some others, but I've sold them at 350% profit. But I'll let this one ride a little bit longer just to kind of see if it plays out.
I hope you guys just heard what Mark said there. This is a guy with no university education. Nobody gave him permission, no degree. He just used the goddamn internet that all you young people that complain about property prices have had your whole life. In our lifetimes, we didn't even have email came in when I was 20, right? Like, you have this massive opportunity to cut your own path. And while the sheeple are pulling down the world's winners, you need to be the contrarian that backs them. And that's how you can create enormous wealth. And over the last few years, I've started to really try to brainwash myself, because I know that it's just been full of history and playing life on hard mode, instead of actually sitting down with a pen and paper and doing the math on things, and going, hang on, is what I'm doing working? I made one of the biggest pivots in my life. When my business was pumping, I thought, I've got to buy real estate. And so I bought a piece of land in Burleigh Heads. And I just said, I just know that it's going to be safe if I buy land, because there's not much land in Burleigh Heads. And my plan was I shouldn't develop that land. And it was a commercial site. And I knew there was money in commercial. I knew there was money in land if I just could do it. And then one day I sat down and I went, okay, well, hang on. Here's how long I've got to hold it. The land was $1.6 million that I paid for it. And I bought it with cash, some cash I had out of my business. And I dumped it in there. And one day I sat down with a pen and paper and went, by the time I actually develop this and blah, 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 you know, my return's going to be this because of time. And so I thought, around the corner there is a building in Burleigh that has $100,000 of income that I reckon I can get up to $200,000 of income pretty quick. And I can get that income today and start making that money. I need to sell this land and buy that building. And that was my first building in Burleigh. And I sold that building a few weeks ago for $5 million and I bought it for two, right? But what made the decision was sitting down with a pen and paper and just going deep on the math and auditing it and going, shit, I need to go there. And I ended up buying three of those buildings and made a lot of money out of that whole situation. So anyway, I just hope you don't miss the power of what you just heard out of Mark's mouth.
And Adam, what has put me in a position to be able to kind of take the risks that I'm taking now with markets and, you know, buy the homes that I've recently bought, was going and selling all the land that I had that I was supposed to develop. I had a 7-unit site and a 13-unit site that I was supposed to develop. In total, it was 6 blocks. And build prices went up 25% because of inflation. And then I remember having the conversation with you, and you basically just kind of said, hey, do the math, work it out. This is what I did. And I went and sold all 6 of those blocks. And that has basically given me the freedom to do the things that I'm doing now and to compound my capital quicker. So, you know, you have to reach out to people in your life that kind of have done it, who know the road ahead, or who can help you with the math, right? Like you helped me and you encouraged me to go and put those properties on the market. And now I created freedom, right?
Big caveat there, Mark, though, is you wouldn't educate yourself. But you can go and sell 13 blocks of land. If you've got no idea where to put the capital, you fucking might as well held the land. You learned a skill over the last 5 years that's changed your life, and now you're just tipping fuel on that fire in a major way.
There's two things I want to tell you, Mark, and I want to be very, very clear. One is you got to take my money sooner or later, as we discussed on the weekend. And number two, you're paying for dinner next time and the time after, okay? Because I ain't getting 280% and 350% returns. When you go public and say this stuff, I ain't paying for dinner again for a long time.
You know, okay? My dad rings me up during the week and he goes, oh, Mark, how you going? I just want to have a chat with you. I'm going. He goes, I think maybe you shouldn't say all the things that you say on the podcast. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, I'm telling people how much money you make and all this. I see. He's fucking right. I should have listened to him.
Old school.
What I was going to say is, Mark, you know, it'd be really great and see your last 12 months P&L and your trading statement, then Eric will probably vomit because he has to be running in there.
Good on you, Mark. I mean, congrats. I'm just happy for you. And I just want to remind you that I like Chamath Palihapitiya's statement where he said, I have strong beliefs that are loosely held. Remain open. Always be reassessing. Always be willing to be wrong. And the willing to be wrong part, as a Bitcoiner, I see people who are so convicted that it's a scam or that it's this or that. And I just ask one question. Have you read a single book on Bitcoin? Any book? No. Okay. Shut the fuck up. Move on. Right? Like, audit your beliefs. Audit what you know. Like, be willing. Like, what I like about Eric is Eric's made millions of dollars out of real estate, but he's also very open to going, all right, Mark, show me that. I'm curious about that. And I remain curious about what Eric's doing. And you've got to remain curious and humble. Ego is going to destroy you. Just moving on to the last part of the pod, because I want to jam some business stuff in here as well, rather than us riffing about economies and markets and all that stuff as well. You know, Eric, you were talking about the importance of attention in today's world. Let's talk about that. And then if we have time, we'll talk about attention to detail as well. But let's start with just the macro concept or the high level concept of what we've been doing in the private coaching group. What is this discussion about, and why is it so important to every listener on here?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it over and over again, right? Like, attention is a currency now, right? And it's a new currency for, you know, personal brands, for business brands. And I've been seeing it firsthand more than ever over the last 18 months with what we've done at Unemployable. And we've chosen to go the hard way, which is organic, right? Showing up every week organically, not pumping ads as hard as that is, because I'm you know, involved in businesses where, you know, it's all about ads. And we've got an amazing, you know, team that works in behind the scenes on what we do at Unemployable. And the reason why I know this is because I'm getting more and more DMs. I'm getting more messages. More people are coming up to me on the street. They're pulling me aside. Hey, I love the pod. Hey, oh, the hat. And it's attention. And we're getting attention. We're gaining more and more momentum. And it's funny because we did a session on attention yesterday in one of our coaching sessions last night. And we had Stuart on, who helps us with all our YouTube and socials and whatnot. And he's a great teacher. And we were talking about attention. And there's everyone that's on this call. And I said to them, I said, guys, I don't know majority of your guys' wants and needs, right? That shouldn't be like that. I should know every single one of you, right, in regards to, I know this guy's got $2 million that he wants to invest in property. I know this guy wants to find land deals. I know that guy's got a business that he wants to invest in. I know this guy that has, you know, or this woman that has, you know, a following that she wants to create a business. And the reason why is because you're not giving yourself enough attention yourself to actually then portray out there, right, what people are going to see that you have. And what I mean by that is, I said, there's this guy. We have Unemployable Property. We've mentioned it a few times, which is a free Facebook group. It's now got 1,500 members in there. And we're not, you know, promoting it in regards to running ads or anything like that. Just it's organically happening. And there's one guy, I don't know who he is, other than his name is Michael Lin. And he posts in there regularly about some of the projects that he's doing. And I said on this group coaching call, I go, who on this group coaching call has seen Michael Lin's posts? Everybody raised their hand. Everyone goes. And then the next question I said, who knows Michael Lin? And nobody raised their hand. I said, who wants to get to know Michael Lin? And everybody raised their hand. I said, this is exactly it, right? Because he's getting your attention. And all of you guys on here aren't doing a good enough job getting attention to you, right?
But why hasn't anyone reached out to Michael as well? Like, why hasn't anyone made conversations?
But this is the thing, right? Like, what's easy to do is easier not to do. And I've learned this over the last 18 months, right? Since starting Unemployable and understanding the game of what we're doing and attention, right? And I think people aren't doing it a good enough job, one, in their businesses, and two, personally, in growing their personal brand. Like, I need to do a better job gaining attention on my personal brand, right? And I know that. In Unemployable, I think we're doing a very good job, but we need to be doing better. As an example, we need to be putting out mid-form clips, right? So we've got these shorts, and then we've got long form, and we're missing a big piece of the market, which is this mid-form clips, which we're working on. So it's understanding the attention that you want. But if you're not the one getting the attention, somebody else is. So you got to really decide, right, what you want out of your business and what you want out of your personal brand.
Yeah, and, you know, I think people have a block when it comes to it. Grant Cardone says it best. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. And it's attention that you get. And I've just turned my focus back in the last few days. I haven't touched my Instagram hardly for a little while. And I thought, all right, I just want to take a minute and trying to think about strategy. And because my Instagram's been a mess. So I followed this young woman out of California who's got an account teaching people how to get attention. And I just followed her because she said things that stopped me in my tracks, right? And I'll give you one example that everybody watching, James, I'm talking to you here, because James is the type of guy who it's not natural to seek attention. He's not that guy, right? He's a quiet guy. He's a thoughtful. He's not a guy. Being on the pod's a big step. And that's most people. So this girl said something that made me go, holy shit. She said, my most effective content on Instagram, the reels are less than 8 seconds and I don't say anything. And I'm like, wait, what? She said, they're less than 8 seconds. So what I do is I film something and I put a little quote over it. And then underneath, I write a meaningful, what my thoughts are about that thing. Now, I just want to show you, I've done this twice in the last 3 days. And the first one, I just did a little pan. I went for a little walk out the front of my building here, did a little pan of the ocean. I put a quote over it, right? And then I wrote what this meant, right? It's been up for 48 hours. I've had 76,400 views of that video. Just
organic. I just want to make it clear. This is organic. This isn't paid ads. Yeah. This isn't traffic. All organic views.
Not one paid, right? 76,400, 579 shares. That means 579 of my followers have pushed it out to all of their followers, right? 168 comments. The other piece is this one here, just me sitting at a coffee shop taking notes. It's silent. It's 8 seconds. I'm just writing notes. And it says, are you making this one mistake? And then what's the mistake that people are reading? Those two reels where I didn't even open my mouth, I didn't get any criticism about my teeth. Amazing. Right? 674 new followers in 48 hours off two reels where I didn't even speak. Think about this, guys, right? I just filled a massive seminar room, 670 people in that room.
New people to the event.
New people who didn't know
me. What you did in the other one is filled a football stadium.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they didn't know me. I want to show you this, right?
No, that what I'm saying is the followers, right?
So this here, one
thing about gaining a follower, yeah.
Gaining the follower. Now I've got a relationship that I can work on with that person. 41% of the people who watched that clip of just the ocean didn't know me. That was the first time they've seen it. Brand new people to me. So 670 new people followed my account the last 48 hours because I listened to a girl half my age and didn't come in as a 51-year-old know-it-all and said, I don't know what I'm doing.
No, but the key
is can you send me her profile, Adam?
I'm going to find it right now for everybody.
I'll also put in our chat, Mark, Mr. Beast tells Zuckerberg the same thing. When I'm silent, I can double the views. That's in our chat. I can repost that for people as well.
Yeah, but the key to it, Adam, is action, though. That's one thing I can take off my hat to with you. Like, when you read something or you do something, like,
activator.
You just do it. You know, like, oh, I've downloaded this app, and next thing you know, you're using it, you're doing it, you're that's one big thing we all need to get better at, right? Is we talk about multiple things here, right? But the reality is, Mark, he can send it to you. That's fine, no problem. Send it. And then 2 weeks goes by. But the key is to actually implement it, right? And that's the same with me. All these things that we're learning, all this information that we're taking in, buy this book, follow this guy, read this thing, watch this video. Like it's overwhelming at times, but again, it's just taking little things like that, like 674 followers now that you're going to go and give more content to, then again, they're going to see the unemployable. Next thing you know, they're subscribing at unemployable. Next thing you know, 2 years down the track, they're at the event, they're a client. Like this is what I mean about gaining that attention. Like right now we're gaining attention. Today, James and I were on a call with a client, right, that is a seasoned veteran in land development that was sitting with us on a Zoom call pitching his deals, going, I am now looking for a new syndicate to fund my deals because the original syndicate that I've used, I no longer want to use for and these are the reasons why, and he explained it to us, and now he's coming to us, and I'm going, all right, well, who else can I bring to this? Who else do I know that's got some money that would want to invest in these types of deals? And that's how it works, gaining the attention.
the guests you guys are coming up shortly on the pod. I'm not going to say anything, but you got some heavy hitters coming through the pod shortly. The opposite, and more closer to home. You know, I started a little travel channel, right, for fun. I've got nearly 2,000 subscribers to that from 6 videos. I got contacted this week from a real estate company down in Ayia Napa saying, can we give you 3 nights free accommodation at a 5-star resort on the beach? Just come down and show the place, right, for you and your wife.
That's awesome.
I had another company that's a wedding companies in Cyprus saying, can we pay you to talk about our wedding companies in Cyprus? I said, most of my audience is Aussies. Why? I'd feel bad taking your money. And they said, no, a lot of people come to Cyprus for weddings. Like, maybe we could set up a picnic for you and your wife. Maybe we could do this for you. We'll pay you money. And I'm like, you know, my audience is Australian. They're like, we love the fact that you are putting a spotlight on Cyprus. And I've been doing it for 4 weeks, for 8 weeks or something. So all I'm saying is, guys, you know, and the connections that have, like, you would not believe the opportunities. I'll tell you some more next week in the pod. But some of the people that are popping up in my inbox now, I'm just like, what the hell are you doing with me? I got an email yesterday from someone who said, are you going to be in Bitcoin Prague? I'm talking highest high level person, right, that I'm going to be meeting with over there because I've seen our content. And it's just crazy. But anyway, that woman, her name is Maria Wendt. So Maria, M-A-R-I-A, dot Wendt, W-E-N for Nelly, D for David, T for Thomas. Her story is actually really cool too. Her husband, I think, cheated on her, and she had a young kid.
That's not good.
Maria. How do you spell it? Maria.
Wendt. W-E-N-D-T. And she's done $11 million in 5 years. And once you start following her, she'll be in your feed constantly. But instead of going, oh, this is kind of painful, watch what she's doing.
Try to 500,000 followers.
Learn her patterns. And she explains how she posts 3 times a day and how she does that all with a young family that she looks after on her own, and how she batches and leverages, and her simple 3 posts a day strategy, one of which is that 8-second silent video. One is silent carousel, so there's no speaking. And then once a day, she posts a little thought directly to camera. That's her formula. But if you watch her and you learn, and I'm not doing all of it. I just don't believe 8-second reels will work. Well, guess what? She was right. I was wrong. So follow her, you know, like, and implement. Like, I was at the coffee shop and I felt like a dick. Like, I was leaning my camera against my coffee cup and just, you know, writing on the pad, and then put some piano music over the top. And it took me 15 minutes to, like, put the post up, write the post, 76,000 views in 24 hours.
I'm competitive. I'm going to do one and I'm going to beat you 76,000, even though I got.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have a crack. There he goes. I'm going to have a crack. He just kicked him off the stage because he was trying to compete with you.
There's your competition. Bye.
Damn, bitch. So then,
that's like the Graham Norton show. He pulls the lever and it's like, fuck off.
Going down.
Eric talked a big game and Eric? Then he fell off the stage. He fell off the stage.
I'm gonna give that a go this week as well. That's fucking sick. That's great. I love those little tips. Eric's right though, mate. Like, I've said it to him like many times, and I don't know if you get enough credit for how good of an activator you are. Like, I haven't come across anyone who can activate as quickly as what you do, and I just think it's a huge superpower.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Maybe I just don't have kids and I've got more time. that may be the problem. Or maybe the asset, who knows. Eric will be back on in a second. But look, guys, you know, I just wanted to share it for all the listeners because...
He's making reels.
Yeah, he's already... He's there.
Talk about an activator. Eric's just like, see ya.
A young, swashbuckling, good-looking Portuguese boy. He probably
Eric didn't pay the power bill to unemployable in the fucking...
Now we know why he's gotten ahead. For everybody listening at home, you know, like, all we're trying to get across here is, like, you know, there are ways, if you look, and so many times people are telling themselves stories that are keeping them broke. And sometimes those stories are things like, I have to build this myself. I have to do this instead of just back Michael Saylor. Real estate's the only way, or Bitcoin's the only way, or land's the only way. The world changes, right? Like, and all of this that you're hearing on here is for different people at different stages of their life, right? Like I built a lot of my wealth through real estate. Now I'm building it and compounding it through different vehicles. So it's not one size fits all. Mark loves what he's doing. James and Eric love what they're doing. There's a ton of money to be made in property still. And that's why I encourage, if you do it right and you get around the right people and the right mentors, which is why I always say, go to Unemployable Property. There's over 1,500 Australians in there that are newbies learning about property, to investors, to developers, to, and they're all trying to meet and network and do deals. And it's free, and it's headed up by Shannon and Carson, who have got $100 million worth of real estate between them over the last 5 years. And Shannon used to be a carpet cleaner. So, you know, it's a great place to be.
You said it before, right? And the importance of keeping an open mind is just so great. And we live in a world where everybody is so black and white with their opinions, and everybody is so like caught in an echo chamber. And there's so many dialogues of the death that are happening online where people can only see their own point of view. But this is, of all times in history, this is the time where you really need to be more open-minded than ever, because things are changing fast. Opportunities are there by the dozen, and just have to stay open.
Well, is that Frankie in the background?
We've got family. We've got another family staying with us. There's three kids under five here at the moment, so I don't know who it is.
I love it. It's definitely not coming from James's place. I'll give you the tip.
Unfortunately, I missed out on that like beautiful sound.
The only crying that happens at James's place is not to do with kids.
Careful, Emma, watch this. weekly, I'll give you your email so you can fuck you up.
Sorry, Emma.
What are we doing? We waiting for Eric, or we call
it? No, I think we're going to call it this week. Guys, thanks so much for being here. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you've liked this episode, drop a comment, like, make sure you subscribe. Still only like 50% of you that watch the content are subscribed. And the more subscribers we get, the better the guests we can bring on. So, you know, help us with a subscription. And the biggest thing you can do is tell your friends, you know, like if you're finding this unique Aussie perspective on the world and business and making money valuable, you know, help us grow. You know, we're here to help the average Aussie get ahead and win in the fight of their life.
And if you like this new version of the pod with the legendary trio here without the Portuguese, just put it in the comments.
Yeah. Hashtag no sepo. hashtag no sepo. Yeah. We love you, Eric. Thank you for being here, guys.
Take it easy, guys.
See you next week.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.